right after the choir preached it to us. Verse 12, Paul writing to Christians, a Christian church filled with Christian worshipers at the church at Corinth, one of this pastor's favorite churches. Listen to what he says to these believers. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? Oh my. Father, help us as we look briefly at this passage. Help us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. This last week we had this example of what it means that Jesus is alive. I mean, I hope that you all, when I cite something like this, sometimes some of you just have not seen it, but I think it's been around for almost a week and a half since Palm Sunday, where the Christians in Alexandria, Egypt, and in another little town there, gathered under the leadership of their pastors to celebrate Palm Sunday. Jesus coming into Jerusalem, getting ready to undergo the cross and his burial and his resurrection. And while they were doing that, ISIS suicide bombers targeting those two churches entered the churches, both of them, two different cities, killed 71 people and injured 178 church worshipers. In the second church, it was only, could have been worse, except the security guards caught them outside and they couldn't get inside, they detonated outside. And I hope you saw it. If you didn't, I want you to look it up online and find it. As the ones who were at St. Mark's Coptic Church gathered the next day outside on the streets in front of the church. Hundreds of the men, they were men, guys. Their wives all on the sidelines going, go get it, guys, you know. And you know what they were doing? They were reciting out loud the words of the Nicene Creed. It's right there in the back of your hymnal if you want to look at it. I believe in God the Father. It's a version of the Apostles' Creed. Came after the Apostles' Creed, basically giving a little bit of time for the other one to simmer, and they enlarged it a little bit. But here they are out in the street saying in front of everybody in midday, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in our one Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. One whole page here, and they're out in the middle of the streets with the hulk of the church in the background saying, Christ is risen. Those guys couldn't have picked a worse time to attack a bunch of Christians. Because when this kind of thing happens to them, as it has happened in the 1,984 times after the events of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in the year 33 AD, they seize upon everything that happens in life to stand up and say, Christ is risen! Christ is risen indeed! There's another picture of that church on the same day. When after the previous day on Saturday, when the prayer meeting, so-called, of the Islamicists they finished out, this lady's up on the third, fourth, fifth balcony of her house with her cell phone trained down the street as the mosque empties and the men all come running down in front of their houses, picking up rocks along the way and start stoning the people's houses. She's out there she's a brave soul. She's got her cell phone and she's outside the little the blind or whatever it is, you know, the gate. And she's got it out there and the stones are hitting all around her. And they're down there saying, Allah Akbar, you know, that chant that they say about not God but some other thing, demonic thorn. But again, they couldn't have picked a worse day. Because Christians for 2,000 years, brothers and sisters, listen, if you've not read history, one of the unrelenting themes of the history of the last 2,000 years is two things. This, a bunch of people getting up every morning, rolling out of the bed and kneeling by their bed and saying, Jesus, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, knowing that they're having a sentient conversation with somebody who's alive, then getting up and going about their life, in the real world of their jobs and their marriages and their child raising and all the other things and finding that the world doesn't want to hear that. For a strange reason. They won't just let it alone. If you're a business guy who, in the course of his business, simply runs your books and runs your employment practices and runs your business plan, believing that there is somebody alive in the universe every moment of your 40-hour week who loved you and died for your sins, aware of you, listening to you, watching you make your bank deposit. Look at you when they bring in a couple that's been out on the ship terminal who are your employees making out in front of the customers drinking alcoholic beverages in the middle of the day on a Thursday, knowing that at that moment you've got some hard work to do with these two pagans. But it's got to be just, and it's got to be fair, and it's got to be loving and kind. But you got to do it. And in the weeks afterwards, the bosses come to you and say, you know, you really handled that pretty good. How'd you do that? And the guy says to him, well, because Jesus Christ is alive today. And he's my master. And he has certain ways in which we handle justice, mercy, and good relationships between men and women and between employees and employers. And I just am instructed by what's in this thing. And they gave the guy a raise. Sometimes that's how it works, but sometimes they try and burn down your church. Sometimes they drag you out of your house and stone you. I met a little guy in Lausanne, Switzerland, outside the university there, the big university in Lausanne. And he had been dressed up in less than, we would say, presentable clothing. You know, he'd gotten out of the missionary hamper on the mission field, and his pastor had brought him along to this convention, world evangelization thing. And we fell into conversation, working through his language and mind, the barriers. And I said, what do you do for a living? And he said, well, I pick up sticks all around my village. I said, where do you live? He lives in Saudi Arabia. And he's because his Christian testimony in that village, that he believes Jesus rose from the dead and is alive, and he knows him. And Jesus died for my sins, and I trust him for my eternal life, you know. His neighbors won't let him do anything else. He literally gets up in the morning before it's dark and picks up sticks and surreptitiously sells it to the inconsistent Muslims in his neighborhood. His wife, to get water from the well, has to do it at 2 a.m. in the morning when nobody else will catch her there. Because when they catch her outside, they do unseemly things to her. The world's reaction to the simple idea that Jesus is alive and I'm in personal relationship with him is something that drives them mad, crazy. And it's even sometimes in the church. This bothers me. Right here. How can some of you, he starts the letter off saying, to the church at Corinth. And he spends the whole 14 chapters prior talking to them about their life and their marriages and these kind of things like this. And in this last time, I mean, I think I would have chosen to run this one first. Because it's obvious from the 15 chapters, they're having trouble with the idea Jesus is alive. Or their marriages would have been different. Their personal relationships would have been different. There's lawsuits against each other in court. All those things. You don't do all those things if you know that there's somebody alive in the universe and he knows you. And you know him, and you walk before him. The Bible describes him as the king of the universe. It describes him as the Lord of glory, the creator of the universe. And if he's still alive, he's someone with whom you have to reckon in some way as a human being, a male or female, a scholar or whatever else. And you can choose. We've seen this for 1,984 years. That a significant portion of the human race just flips him off. Flips his whole idea off and says, nah, we don't care. Nobody raises from the dead. That's ridiculous, Neil. And I say, well, no, it's not. I've given you there in the page of the bulletin there as you turn the first page on page 2. If you're having trouble with Jesus rising from the dead, I've given you one little page right there. A source of references you can take out of this thing and go and say, gee, I didn't know that. Because if you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, it's simply because you don't know the facts of history, science, evidentiary hypotheses, whether or not the testimony is trustworthy. They're all right there. That video is a great one, very recent done. And if you don't have that last book on your shelf and you claim to be somebody who has seriously looked at the resurrection of Jesus, you haven't. Trust me. That book has got, I mean, it's two, just a huge conglomerate of all the evidence. You put that down and say, I don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. There's something going on in you. Why would you not believe? Why would you not want to believe that somebody who loved you enough personally to hang on a tree and in that moment cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me instead of Neil? Neil deserves to be forsaken forever. He violated your laws. He was an ugly, evil person for the first 28 years of his life. Why do I have to endure all your anger and wrath at that guy? And God says, because that was my will, and I love you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. They have the everlasting life instead of everlasting death, because the everlasting death fell upon the guy hanging on the cross in the year 33 AD. And all who know him and have trusted him alone as the reason they can be free of death and condemnation is alive today, free and open to a personal transaction from any human being on the face of this planet who wants one day to suddenly wake up or suddenly know that they've woken up. That's the better way to put it. And what they've woke up to is, Christ died for my sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried and he rose again and is alive today, someone upon whom I can depend for God's forgiveness for eternity. Where are you today? This Easter, it comes around every year, and I ask this question every day. I have to. Every year, I got to say to you, Jesus is alive. He is alive. I wish I could do a drum roll right now and point to the back of the room and open the door, and Jesus walks in and kicks me out of the pulpit and says, let me get this done right, and gets to you that way. I wish I could do that, but he doesn't do that. He's chosen to do it this way. And by that witness that I know everybody in this room's had, from a good mother, a good father, a guy at the office, a girl at the office who's always talking to you about Jesus, you know, and those moments you can remember in your past where God was in your face about something, and you told him, no. And when you walked away into death and sin and condemnation, he was really sorry for that. And he's been after you ever since. And you know it. You know those moments. Mentally, you had these certain thoughts and emotions. You were moving in a direction. And you cut it off. Because at the root of it, you wanted to stay in control. The most death-dealing motive for not trusting God is that you're going to do it all yourself. Because one of these times you're doing this is going to be a dagger that's going to kill you. And you'll find yourself in the presence of God with no one having died for your sins. And so today, Resurrection Sunday, it's not just about Jesus 2,300 years ago rising from the dead. It's whether or not today the life of Jesus Christ is going to be present to you and you're going to embrace him as your Savior, your Master, your King, the one whom you love and want to love more. You'll start out down here trying to just blindly figure it out. That's okay. He's right there with you like a kid, you know, like a parent with the baby trying to teach him how to ride the bike, you know. He's there then. And then when you get to be a teenager and you're full of yourself and you know a little bit about the Christian church and now you think you know it all, he'll be with you then too to humble you and test you and try you to make sure you don't. Yeah. And then when you get to be older, entering your retirement, you think you're going to run away from the church for the rest of your life, run away from the work of his kingdom, when he needs you in your maturity more than ever he's needed you in your life to disciple the people coming up and back you, at great cost to you, no doubt, he'll be with you then too to draw you back into the good work of the kingdom of God under his living tutelage and help. So I leave you with that. I ask you to trust the living Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I ask you to give yourself up to Him progressively over the next number of years you have remaining in your life. I ask you to pick up this Bible, which He has chosen. If I told you it was your iPhone, you'd carry it around for the rest of your life, and you'd be waiting for boop, 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 boop. There he is, Him. He does that. He uses His Word like that. But He also uses it this way. And this, a lot of us think, is a better way. Because it's you and this. And not you and everything else everybody wants to crowd through that screen onto your face. Distracting you from the really important stuff. You've been through that. You've looked at it. You get into something and you're starting to get into it, but you also are starting to get something's being demanded of you. And, there's an image that I can go there, you know. Get out of this pressure. No, you can't do that with this as easily. You can do it, but you can't do it as easily. Read your Bibles. Let God speak to you through the pages of this book. But at the bottom of it, Jesus is alive. And He is alive, and that means your life is lived in His presence. Not your preachers, not your fathers and mothers, and not your friends and neighbors, and not anybody on the internet. He's alive. For your good or your disaster, your response to Him is the issue. How will you do that today? I'd ask you to pray right now and ask Him to be your master. I'd ask you to pray right now and say, Lord, You died for my sins. How could You do that? But You did, and I love You, and I want to serve You. And let that be the thing that drives you for the rest of your life into the kingdom of God. Through the kingdom of God into other people's lives, carrying with you that good news that Christ, the one who died for your sins, is alive today for you personally to know and to live for. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your mercies. Lord, thank You that Your Savior's alive, that You didn't just write a book. You didn't establish libraries and put a new vocabulary together or something like that. You raised Your Son from the dead after You punished Him for the sins of His people. And He's alive today. And Lord Jesus, as You are alive listening to this pastor and the hearts of everyone in this room, all over this part of the country where this worship is taking place, Lord, by Your Spirit, please help us. Help Your church. Help the members of Your church. So grab hold of this truth that it dominates and shapes the way they think and feel and act. And by those transformed lives, Lord, so bring transformation to the communities, the families first, the husbands and wives and children, the churches, the neighborhoods, every element of what is human culture, let it be in submission to Jesus, the great resurrected Savior of the world. I pray in these moments that if there is that prayer of confession and repentance, might come even from some place here in this room to a Savior, Lord Jesus, who I know is there listening, waiting. Your eyes are on them right now. Convict them, convert them, draw them to Yourself. And to the life that is really the life You made human beings for. Loving You with all their hearts. Appreciating what You did for them on the cross. Living in this life to please You in all respects. In obedience to all that You have said. Thanks again, Father, for our choir. God, thank You for the service of Easter at Kahina today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.